I do not have very much to share with you, just for a few minutes. I don't know if we'll make it to Minchas. Minchas about 10 after?
12:05.
Oh, 12:05?
Yeah, 12:05.
12:05? 12:06? Okay. Okay, let's just briefly discuss a topic. Topic is Ani Hamahapech Becharara. A poor man that is trying to close a deal and is preempted by someone else is called, the other person that takes away what the ani is trying to acquire is called a rasha. How does that relate to this week's parsha? Very interesting connection. Yaakov says to Rivka, I don't want to take away the brachas from Esav. I don't want to disguise myself as Esav. Ulai yimusheni avi, maybe my father will feel me. He'll discover that I am really Yaakov. V'hayisi v'enav kimisateya, v'hevesi olai kilola v'loi beracha. Now, it's not so simple, this matter, this issue. If we were in this position ourselves, and we have two sons, and one son comes to try to take away what was really meant to be for another son, I'm sure this scenario happens every so often. So, and then the father catches the son, the bad son, the evil son, the son that tried to steal what was not meant for him. What would the father do? Would the father go so far to actually curse the son that's a ganav? Or the father, you know, I'm not going to give it to you. You were caught. You're not going to get what you tried to receive. I'm going to punish you. I'm not going to curse you. You don't curse yourself. A child is an extension of yourself. You'll put the child in his place. You'll punish him, and you'll go weiter. So why was Yaakov so afraid? Really, would Yitzchak Avinu go so far to curse his own child? Is that really correct? So you'll tell me, yeah, he would. And where do we have a precedent for this? The precedent for this can be found in reference to Noach. Noach, shame, no Noach, when he came out of the Teva, shame, Chom and Yefes. Chom and Yefes, shame and Yefes, they covered up Noach's nakedness. Whereas Chom, he went in and made Litzanus and did an Aver with his father. So there his father indeed actually cursed Chom. And from that came Canaan, and Canaan was cursed to be an Eved to his brothers. But that's a very big difference.
He harmed.
Exactly. So you can't bring a full proof from there, because there actually caused him harm. What about
Shimon and Levi?
He cursed their anger. He cursed their anger, but he didn't curse their essence. He didn't curse them as a person. Here he's saying, the expression, you're right, it's not a curse, it's not perfect, but it appears that Yaakov Avinu was afraid that he would really merit a curse, that his neshama would be cursed to a very great degree, just because you're trying to take away a bracha is something that you really want to, it's something that's desirable. Why Yaakov Avinu should understand that he wanted the bracha, he had a legitimate excuse. Even if he would be caught, he can tell him the whole story, what happened years ago. Dad, I bought the Bechorah, can tell him all the Lashon Hara, and Yaakov would say, okay, I hear what happened. He didn't do it right, but he had a very good excuse, so we'll give you a tap on the shoulder, and we'll send you home. Okay, we're not going to go, Kalala V'lai Bracha is a very extreme thing for Yaakov Avinu to say. So where does it come from? So here I have in the Sefer from Rabbi Toledano, Mital HaShemayim, he says the sugya is a sugya of Oni HaMahapich B'Charara. The Gemara says if a poor man is trying to close the deal, and someone else comes along and chaps it from the Oni from the very last moment, he is called a Rasha. The Gemara used a very strong terminology. Now, let me read you the entire Gemara. It's a very interesting story. The Gemara says, Maisa Shahaya, there was a person by the name, what? The Gemara is in Kiddushin, Daf Nun Tes Amar Aleph. The Gemara there says, Maisa Shahaya, Rabbi Gidl was trying to buy a piece of property. There was a piece of property that was for sale. In the perfect neighborhood, there's a housing crisis. Trying to buy a house for his children. He was trying to buy the house. And as he was about to close the deal, Ozal Rabbi Abba, his friend, chap the house, Zavna. As Rabbi Zeir was negotiating a price, Rabbi Abba came along and someone does not tell us the details of how he was able to pull this off. He went and he bought the house for himself. So Gidel was very upset because he was just about ready to close the deal, and someone came along and somehow, some way, was able to ruin it. So Tavle l'Rebbe Zera, he bitterly complained to Rebbe Zera that this person Rav Gidel, Rebbe Gidel complained to Rebbe Zera about Rebbe Abba. Rebbe Gidel, who lost out, went to Rebbe Zera, complained to Rebbe Zera about Rebbe Abba. So Ozla Rebbe Zera, Kabbal Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka, so Chad Gadya. Rebbe Zera went and he complained to Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka. He said, look at this Rebbe Abba, he's a bad guy. Look what he did, he's just a terrible person. Look what he did to Rebbe Gidel. Amalei, so Rebbe Yitzchak Nafka says, listen, I don't know the halacha, it's a very complicated story, as is always the case when it comes to business. Hamtenan Shayala Etzlenu L'Regel, let's wait until they both come. Well, I guess Rebbe Yitzchak, who was the Dayan, said, we'll wait until Yomtif. Yomtif, they're both going to come to Yerushalayim. I get wherever he was located, wherever he was, not necessarily Yerushalayim, wherever he was, and we'll have a discussion and we'll clear things up. Kisolik Ashkechei Amalei Ani Mahabich B'Charara. He asked him the Shaila. He said to him, an Ani, a poor man, Menu, a poor man is trying. He sees in the street a loaf of bread.
What is
a loaf of bread?
Oh.
A loaf of bread, and the Ani is making his bow to get there. And the loaf of bread is Hefker. And as he's about to close in, someone else comes along and chaps it. So it's, I can't have tightness on me, it's Hefker. I got it first. Oh, but you were trying to get it before me. You already had Kavana to get it 10 minutes. You already took note that there's a loaf of bread in the street 10 minutes before I knew about it. And during those 10 minutes, you were making your way closer and closer. You had some type of some type of camera, video camera. You saw it and you were making your way to like a parking spot. Okay, there are many applications. Right? You see a parking spot. This is very common, very common. You see a parking spot and you're about to get the parking spot, and then someone else comes and chaps it. And the other person, so you thought, it's not fair. It's not fair. How can you make a turn and chap the parking spot? I saw the parking spot from two blocks behind, and I was maneuvering my way to get there. So the person says, tough luck. I got here first. That's exactly what the cat's in exactly such time in Mahab Charara. So he asked him, so he himself, Rabbi Yitzchak, asked Rabbi Abba the halach. Let me ask you a shayla, Rabbi Abba. You're a Talmud Chacham. What's the halacha? So Omar Lay, so Rabbi Abba himself said, Nikra Rasha. The person that chaps is a Rasha. Like Nassan the Navi. So why then did you buy this house, this piece of land, when your good friend Rabbi Zera was maneuvering his way to buy the property? Rabbi Zera was the only Amabi Vicharara. Vialamar my time of Hochi. Amalei, Lo Havi Yodana. I would never have done this. It was an honest mistake, like the parking example. I had no idea that Rabbi Zera was maneuvering his way to purchase this piece of land. I just happened to be there at that time, at that moment, and I heard, so it was for sale, and I made a deal, offered a deal, and I bought it. I didn't know that he was taking out a second mortgage on another piece of property in order to get the money to buy the property. I didn't know. Okay, hashtanami. Then the Gemara just tells a side point, hashtanami nesvin nehalemar. Okay, he made a mistake, so give it back. Give back the piece of land back to Rabbi Zera. You made a mistake, you say Russia. So he said to him, Amalei, no, Zehudi le mezav, nina le, this is an amazing concept in itself, is worth many shiurim. I'm not going to sell because the ara kamaisa, it's the first piece of land that I bought, v'loi mesamna milsa. It's not a good look, exactly. The first going to a store, you always see on the top and behind the counter, first dollar, $5, $10, first dollar, put up a good luck charm. That's basically what he said. This piece of land is the first piece of land that I purchased. It's not a good simon to sell my first piece of property that I purchased. So therefore, Rabbi Abba says, I can't sell it to Rabbi Gidel because it's bad luck. What does that mean exactly? If I'm a Roim to make such a statement, we don't. And that's not for now. Okay, but you know what? You know what? I realize I don't want to be a Rasha, so you know what? He could have it as a gift. $500,000 gift. That's what he said. Iboy b'matan nishkale, I'm not going to sell it, but I'll give it to him as a gift. Rav Gidla nachisla. Rav Gidla refused to take it as a gift because Sine matanos yichya. Rabbi Abi lo nachaslo. Rabbi Abi refused to move in. Why? If I move into the house, I'm in violation of ani hamahapich becharara uba achar v'nala. A poor man is trying to acquire a loaf of bread. Someone else comes along and chaps it. He's nikra rasha. So what happened? Loimar nachisla v'loimar nachisla. Rabbi Gil did not take possession. Rabbi Abba did not take possession. It was an abandoned property, and it was called. It got a nickname. Umiskaria ara derabanan. It was called the land of the Rabban. That's the mice of the Gemara. So according to Rav Toledano, okay, everything he's saying over here is bringing down different sources. He's quoting sources. That's exactly the issue of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is an amazing tzustel to the mice of this week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu says to Rivka, Rivka, listen, I know it's my bracha. I deserve the bracha. And the truth is, I'll win. If I'll get caught, I'm not worried. We'll go to a din Torah. I'll tell Yaakov, I'll tell Yitzchak, my father, the whole story. Now I'll be happy. On the other hand, Esav is closing in. Esav has gone out to the field Lotzut Said Lohavi to bring for his father Matanim. Esav now is closing in on the deal. He's an Oni Hamahapich Bacharara. If I come along now surreptitiously to chap the bracha for my brother, I'm begeder an Oni Hamahapich Bacharara Uvacha V'nolo, and I will earn the title of Rasha. And a Rasha deserves a curse. It's not comparable to a bad child that just does something bad and goes to his brother's room and takes away his toys. He's a ganef. So he's a ganef. No, a ganef is not necessarily called a Rasha. Not in every instance. Or a jealous. But here, this is serious business. This is serious ethical business practices. And I don't want to be a Rasha. I'll deserve a call out if I don't want to take it. Okay.
That's right.
Yes.
So what is
Rick
answer?
Don't worry. Olai kilos chabni. Okay, that's another. Okay, that's another. So the answer is that he's not. So this is, he has many pages here, which is beyond my comprehension. He talks about it, Rivka's response. In this instance, Aniya Mahabachar does not apply because Esav was a Rasha. Esav was the Rasha. He was Eina Esav Maise Amcha. Esav was an Avarion. He did not deserve the brachos. There were more things at stake. This was an exception to the rule. What? Esav b'chalal no business. There are more things here at stake. But the least is coming to light in the question of what was the time of Yaakov of b'chalal of loy bracha. Now here comes the very big issue. And I'll just give you some examples in something that I worked in where these issues come up. There's a major machlekes rishonim, which is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Two different shittos in Shulchan Aruch. Exactly in which instance does aniyam hamav b'chavara work? The case of the Gemara is very, it's very specifically a case of business. Rav Gidl was trying to buy a piece of property. There's a house for sale on Avenue L. Avenue L and Ocean Avenue. There's a house for sale. Rav Gidl wanted to buy the house. What would happen if it was sold to someone else, or Rav Gidl couldn't afford to buy this house, or for whatever reason, there was some red tape he couldn't, was not able to get through? He would buy another house. If it's not going to be this house, I have in the bank a sum of money. I'm going to buy a house. If it'll be this house, it'll be this house. If it won't be this house, it'll be another house. Along comes Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, Rabbi Abba comes along. I also want to buy a house. I also want to buy a house. So what's going to happen if you, Rabbi Gidl, will get the house first? So then I'll go buy another house. When the day is over, there are enough homes in the neighborhood for both Rabbi Gidl and Rabbi Abba. The only question is, who's going to get this house? If I'm going to get this house, then you'll have to get another house. If you're going to get this house, I'm going to get it. But everyone will have, no one's going to lose out. When the day is over, everyone will have a home and shelter for themselves and their family. In this instance, we apply the principle of Ani Hamahabich Bechararo Ba'al of Nadlo is a Rasha. But in an instance where it's either this or nothing, there's only one house available, period, and the one that loses out will not have any place to live, here not everyone agrees that it's us. In this instance, some Rishonim hold it's mutter. Because if I'm not going to buy this house, I'm homeless. So it's either me or you. It's either me or you. Why is your blood redder than my blood? You didn't buy it yet. It's for sale. Just because you're working back channels to go and acquire this piece of property, you have to go take out a second mortgage. You've made it known to the community that I want to buy the house. I just need another week in order to straighten out my financial matters so I can come up with the cash to make a deposit, and you are willing to go and put down the money 3 days earlier and chop what I'm trying to accomplish. I am entitled. First come, first serve. Because I also, if I'm not going to buy this house, I'm left out in the street. Maybe in this instance, we don't apply the principle of Ani Amahabich Bacharar. And the problem, though, is the Ani Amahabich Bacharar is a case of a poor person. The example the Gemara gives is a poor person, if he's not going to get this loaf of bread, he has nothing to eat. Is that really the case? Or is the case he'll get something else to eat? It's just he got lucky. What exactly can I remember? It means he's going to starve? No. He won't get this piece of bread, so we'll go and we'll get another piece of bread. So this is a major issue which is not clear. It's not clear when you're being zoicha from hefker, when you're acquiring something from hefker which is going to be a windfall for someone, do we apply the case of Ani Abba Bechavar in this instance as well or not?
Now,
so in the parking spot, not necessarily so. If you won't get this parking spot, are there other parking spots? There are other parking spots, assuming there are.
It happens in the real estate world, everything.
Oh, so that's the big question.
I know my show with me.
Yeah.
Somebody offered a certain price 40, almost 35 years ago. He was offering a price, I was offering a price.
And there's
bidding.
Yeah.
Bidding each other.
Yeah.
The other guy pulled out for whatever reason. Couldn't afford it.
But there it was equal. It was fair to begin with. It wasn't the case of Ani Amahabich Bacharar. There it was for sale. It was what goes to the higher price. Here we're going in a case where the money is not the case. You're right. There are so many different variables and factors that is a very, very vague and gray area when you apply Ani Amahabich Bacharar, when you do not. And especially, just the point I want to make is especially when you add these two opinions into the equation, this machlekes rishonim, is Ani Amahabich Bacharar only in a case where you can, if you're going to lose, you can get something else, so then it's not fair. Or do we apply it even in a case where if you lose, you'll have nothing else? Where do we apply? Now I'll just give you some examples of things I used to work in where it's very, very complicated. Today, let's say you go on, everyone goes online, you go to Google, you type in a search term, and you'll always notice on the right side, and on the top, there are going to be advertisements. Correct? They're advertisements. When you click on that advertisement, someone is paying money for each click. Okay, in Google, it's a pay-per-click platform. Every time you click on an advertisement, the advertiser is paying a certain amount of money per click. They follow that link. They go into a website, and you have to pitch something to that visitor to make a sale to lock him in. How much is he paying? Well, it depends. It depends on, it's an extremely complicated system, and no two people pay the same amount of money. It depends where you're located. It depends on how relevant your text is towards the page. There are many, many variables which go into the price. People have come up with software, very sophisticated software, where they watch, they monitor 24/7. We're dealing over here with supercomputers. Not dealing with people with a little guy sitting and watching, with supercomputers that are monitoring 24/7 every single advertisement that appears on a page for any certain given keyword. Let's say you have a keyword, let's say flowers. Buy flowers online. So it's checked. These supercomputers check Google a billion times a day to see all the advertisements on the site. And they monitor the advertisements. And they monitor it for days, for weeks, for months. Now, no one knows, there's no human being who knows what makes an advertisement successful. It can be one word that makes all the difference. It can be the difference if it's in bold, if it's not in bold, if it's underlined, not underlined. No one knows what is the secret formula to get a person to click on your advertisement. But here is something which is very simple. If this guy, this company, this owner of this website is able to afford to continue to advertise on the front page of Google for 2 weeks, and the statistics are 10,000 people click on his advertisement, and he must be paying in, per click at least 50 cents per click, or maybe a dollar per click, it must be, this advertisement is a good advertisement. It must be he's doing something right. Because his competitor dropped out after 2 days. So why did the competitor drop out after 2 days, and this other person is still going strong like the Energizer Bunny after 3 weeks? It must be he has some formula. There is something special about his advertisement which works, which is relevant. The keywords, the way he expressed those words, what he has done makes sense. And then, of course, there's also what he's trying to sell you. Okay, the product he's trying to sell. But let's assume that the product he's selling is exactly the same. There is no difference. There is some. So now what you do is, I'm going to copy that person. Since I've been monitoring him for 6 weeks, we type in the keyword giving, we type in buy flowers online. And we've monitored Google's front page for the last 6 months. And there are two people that remain who were able to stick it out for 6 months to keep their advertising on the front page. It must mean these two people, and they would know, and during that 6 month period, there were about 300 people who advertised with these keywords who were on the front page of Google, and all of them dropped like flies. After two days, one day, because obviously they weren't making money, and it wasn't worth them to pay 50 cents per click. After a certain period of time, they were losing money, so they dropped out. Now that I have that information, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to copy them exactly. I have insider information. I'm now going to put up an advertisement identical to their advertisement, clicking into my website, and my website will copy their whatever I'm selling will be the same thing, assuming that I'm getting the same commission that they're getting, or assuming that I'm selling it, I have the same supplier, whatever the story is, and that way I'll be able to cut into their profits. So is this called oni? Is this ethical? Legal? You can do it. Here's a tech, here's something which no one is stopping you. No one is stopping you from doing this. No one is stopping you from monitoring Google like a hawk, like this, for 6 months. You're not going to do it yourself. You're going to their services that do this, and they charge you money for the information, for the data. Data is worth billions of dollars. They're the ones who are making the real money. People will make the big money. The people are telling you all the data. Not people are selling the merchandise. But it's legal. Who's stopping me from going to Google and seeing what it says on the front page of Google? Who's stopping me from making an advertisement? I'm not a copyright advertisement. There's no law. There's no copyright law on advertisements. But my technique is a technique which, using this information, I'm being mahapech b'charara. You, like the one who did this, already invested tens of thousands of dollars.
You have to know
Jew. What? Let's say he's not a Jew. For yourself, let's say you're asking another question. Does Ani Amhavim Bechara apply to non-Jews? Does it apply to non-Jews? Let's assume it does. Let's assume it does. When it comes to business, there's almost no difference because of Chil Hashem.
Does it apply to a company?
What? Why not? Okay, these are answers that there's no... I want to bring out the point. There are no answers to these questions. These questions is a major... These are ethical dilemmas in the marketplace. This is my father's big thing. My father...
Take it in a parking spot. If I grabbed the parking spot that you want in this one story, but if there's a truck coming for a company, you know, I have a big problem. In front of all these stores, Blue Ribbon and Glass...
All right, listen, okay.
No parking, only trucks unloading.
Listen, that's a law. They need it for the stores. That's this.
What do you mean they need it? They take away from the parking spot. I should have to...
That's the city. A Malchus has a power to make such laws for the toilets. So what's the solution? You'll park, and then there'll be no products in the store.
No, double park.
Double park. And then you'll have a headache. You'll have a headache from today until tomorrow. Gridlock. Double park is a sakana. Because ambulances, emergency, first responders can't get through, and it's a sakana for people, for their nerves. They'll end up in the hospital with a nervous breakdown. Listen, a government has the power to enact takanas even though the yechidim are not happy. That's a different story.
The lobbies.
I know there are things that are legitimate, and there is always corruption. Okay, but that's not for now. So here is this issue. Here, just give me one example. Is this an example of Oni HaMahapech Becharara? These individuals, these people have spent an enormous amount of money to go through the steps to go through the steps to find what has worked, and here I come along, I observe them, and I take advantage of what they have done. You see, what? Am I allowed to do this? Legally, yes. There's no one that's stopping me. And if I'm not going to do it, guess what? Someone else will do it. Because since there are no laws, a billion other people will do it. So, what? It's much.
If Mama Grant is successful, can I open a store?
No, that's different. It's not. You can, of course you can. It's much the case. No, it's not on Mahabak Bacharara. The case of the internet is much more pronounced. The examples that are struggling the internet are infinitely more pronounced than examples, the traditional examples of
technical problems, but they're not only
the internet has technology has created examples of aniyam habvacharor that do not exist on this scale in the real world. I'm telling you as a fact. You don't have such a type of situation. So are you allowed to do this? On the one hand, legally it's mutter. There are no laws. Number two, if I'm not going to do it, there are anyway a billion people doing it anyway. So the people who are investing tens of thousands of dollars to get themselves to the front page, they have to know that they're being washed and they're being copied. That's a very important factor, which I think at the end of the day, according to most poskim, is the bottom line, that it becomes mutter because of that reason whatsoever. The Ani is investing money. Here comes the other issue. If, let's say, I would not be able to do it this way, do I have another option? Are there other techniques? You get into the other machlekes. Is this called hefker? Am I being zeichah from hefker? No, not necessarily. There are other ways. There are other techniques in how you go. You do it yourself. You go through the steps yourself. You can see what works, what doesn't work. Why do you have to take the shortstops? You open up all of the issues of Aniyam Habich Bacharara in modern times with this, maybe one another quick example. This is really the spitz of Aniyam Habich Bacharara. There's something called PPV. Does anyone know what that stands for? Pay-per-view. What's pay-per-view? That doesn't mean watching television. It means, let's say there are a million people out there that are shaited, that download toolbars. They give you, just click here to download this little innocent little add-on or app to your browser. You don't realize when you download that little app to the browser, you're infecting your computer with all of this spyware and adware. They're watching your every step. So what? They're watching your every step. Here comes the advertiser. What are they selling? Here's what they're selling. When you go, when an innocent person, let's say, goes to Amazon, and you want to buy an iPad from brand X, I now pay the people who have installed the spyware on your computer. When he goes, they can't redirect. That's illegal. When he goes, and he goes to buy brand X. Let's do even worse. Now this is really chutzpah, and this is what everyone is doing. This is real chutzpah.
You do this sort of work, right?
What? Yeah, I do this sort of work, but I have not had any success with this. So
that's what you are. Now
listen to this chutzpah. This is the spitz. Okay, someone goes to store. You go to store to Amazon. We have a minute still? Someone goes to store X, and when he comes to store X, when he comes to the checkout, we're dealing here at the checkout. At that moment, when he's at the checkout page, it appears that the advertisement to buy the same product from the same company. The only difference is I'm going to get the commission. I'm not telling him to go buy a different brand. I'm not telling him to go buy a different company. No, you want to buy this item, and someone has paid a lot of money for this. Someone has paid $5 in order to convince you, to get you all the steps that you come to make this purchase. And now when you're finally here to make the purchase, I'm going to confuse you by showing you an identical page to buy exactly the item that you're about to purchase, and just instead of clicking on this page, you'll click on this page to do the checkout. So this is real Ani HaMabich B'Charara. The person is about what?
Google or...
Yes, they allow this. This is illegal. This is not Google, but they're dealing with other types of... They have no choice. They don't care. eBay gets the money no matter what. It's a question who gets the commission. They get it. So this is mamish. Ani HaMabich B'Charara. There are people, I'm telling you as a fact, that are making millions of dollars doing this. And it's legal. 100% legal on the books. But it's mamish 100%. So you say, same way I do it. So you can do it. Everyone has available to them the technology. You can do it. So is this Ani HaMabich B'Charara? So you can definitely find legal loopholes in halacha that it's mutter. But is it erluch? Is this the type of parnasa you want to be comfortable making a living when the whole mahalich of your parnasa is begeder Ani HaMabich B'Charara ubo achar v'notloi? It's mutter. But Nikra Rasha. So this touches upon, and as I told you, this exists, the whole, since creation exists, these concepts. But with the internet, the hechatimsis of these type of technologies that are available to monitor and spy on other people, how they're making money, is brought to a new level. Not just the NSA, the average man has access to these tools to monitor and to use these techniques to outsmart your competitor, all according to law. But it's definitely unethical, will Chazal say. Alai Shemi Yimusheni Avi, Vehavi Alai Kalala, Yisina Bekimisatea, Vehavi Alai Kalala, Vulai Bracha, it's not ultimately going to be good.